helping you plan for a successful retirement and what's right for you and your family. This is the Aging Hour with Bill Davis and elder law attorney Phil George of Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Covering all the disclaimer bases.
Yes.
That's what that guy did a minute ago for the Aging Hour, brought to you by Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. He is Phil George, elder law attorney, counselor at law. I'm Bill Davis. And
is that home run of disclaimer safety?
I mean,
you know, we're getting into baseball season.
Think about it. You know, we're both in the on deck circle.
Absolutely.
We got to do a little CYA.
Absolutely.
You think everybody knows what CYA means?
Can your apples?
Shut the front door. Yeah, okay. Anyway, we have to, for those that don't know, we have to run those things because, first of all, the bar is very, very stringent with
you
about
what
client-lawyer relationships
exactly.
over the radio. It is for entertainment purposes only, they say.
And we fail miserably at
that. I know. We're definitely getting an F on that. And then also FCC.
Sure.
Because this is what we call brokered programming.
Yes.
You know, the sponsor pays to be here to try to give you some sound things to think about.
Exactly right. While entertaining.
And the FCC frowns upon that we have to disclose.
Sure. Yes.
That you're here for this reason. Right. And anyway, and then I love the one that says, you know, it doesn't reflect the opinions of the management of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group, but they should.
They should.
Yeah.
Darn it.
It's okay. We can say it doesn't really mean that they think like this, but they ought to. What's wrong with them?
These are some darn good opinions
I'm
spouting here.
Okay. If you want Phil's darn good opinion on your subject matter, you can email him. Here's the address, radio@safeharborlegal.com, mm-hmm. @safeharborlegal.com. You can also call Phil at his office, 360-746-7169. And then when you go to the office, you can establish a client-lawyer relationship.
Yes. And then we can have privacy and all that kind of good stuff. But until then, it's just
bogus entertainment. That's all it is.
Cheap entertainment and bad information.
What's on tap today?
Okay, we got three good questions today that came in this last week. When should people have a will and when should they have a trust?
Mm-hmm.
Next question is, help, my husband didn't have me listed on his IRA.
Mm.
Third one is the care you receive on Medicaid any good?
Mm.
And then finally, we'll get to the wrap-up.
All right, you want to jump in the first one?
Let's do it.
Says here, I've been listening to your show for quite a while, and I really enjoy listening to you guys talk about these issues. Mr. Producer Man, open up that cash register. Thank you so much. For those that don't know, Phil and I get a shiny new nickel.
Drop straight from the ceiling.
Yep. For every person who claims they listen to the show and they like it. You don't have to, by the way. You can lie.
We approve of that. Encourage it.
We're fine.
Yeah.
We just want the nickels.
Exactly. Okay. We don't need truth.
My wife and I are getting ready to make an appointment with you to come in and get our legal documents done. And I have a couple of questions for you. They will be establishing a client-lawyer relationship.
And they've already established themselves as upstanding members of society.
Listeners.
Wow. And an incredibly attractive.
Okay. Says here, I was talking to a few of my friends, and there were some pretty big differences of opinion about the trust. Well, that's your first problem right there.
Exactly. Okay. Talking to your friends.
I got two friends who are new to Whatcom County, and their attorneys told them that the trust was a very good idea because it avoids probate, and that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
I got another friend who was born and raised here in Bellingham. His attorney told him, didn't have enough money to have a trust, and that probate in Washington really wasn't that bad. Can you talk a little bit about when people should have a will or if they should have a trust? Could you also speak to the issue about probate? Is it something you should try to avoid? Well, I think we know the answer to that question if you've been listening.
Just always try to avoid it.
Yeah.
Like those road apples.
Mm-hmm.
So this happens a lot. I can't tell you how often I'll speak to somebody and they'll say, well, I talked to my friend at church and they said probate wasn't very bad at all. Or I talked to my financial planner and they said I didn't have enough money for a trust and probate's not that bad. Or my accountant that works for somebody else, you know, that probate's really not that bad. And you know, at the end of the day, it's your choice, okay. Right? My job is just to tell you your options.
Let's tell everybody what probate is.
Sure. So probate is basically the state's way of making sure that you pay your final tab on the way out. So when you pass away, they want to make sure that all your debts are paid off before your assets get distributed according to the terms of your will. And so probate in Whatcom County costs on average about $6,500, takes about a year and a half. There are some issues with it beyond that. One, it's not private. So as soon as you start going through probate, your spouse would have to basically file with the courts exactly what you owned. And as soon as you file that with court, it becomes public knowledge and anybody with a computer can look it up. So it's not private. People can find out what you had when you passed and who gets what. Mm-hmm. It's also more prone to fighting, right? If you give people a year and a half to start thinking about their inheritance and what they're going to do with it, and right around month 13 or so, people start getting a little antsy. Mm-hmm. They start thinking, oh, man, I should have been in the Bahamas by now. Mm-hmm. Where's my inheritance at? Especially if their spouse is whispering in their ear, hey, what's your brother doing? He's supposed to be the executor. You're supposed to have gotten your money now. And so that's when these things really kind of turn bad. And that's really what probate is.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've talked about before, probably it's not a bad idea to avoid probate, but you know, if you want to go through it, you've said before, it just depends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. Right. My job is to tell you what probate is. Probate, $6,500, year and a half. And then the stuff that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. If you want to avoid that, I can show you how. If you don't want to avoid that, there you go.
Now, I know in Washington it's not so bad. Other states, it's a killer.
So, you're exactly right. In places like California and stuff like that, they can take 7% of your entire estate. Yeah. And in Washington, they don't. Again, $6,500, year and a half or so. It's a personal choice. Mm-hmm. If you were fine with your spouse having to go through probate, fine, do it. That's just fine. But I got to tell you, you know, normally what I'd do is I'd charge people about $2,500 for a will, and I'd charge them about $4,500 for a trust. And so if you do the math then, if you have a trust, you're paying basically $4,500 to avoid probate every time that somebody passes away. If you've got a will, you're paying $2,500 for the honor of going to court to pay $6,500 then when the first spouse passes. And if I'm not mistaken, that brings you up to about $9,000. And then you're going to pay another $6,500 when the second spouse passes, which brings you up to about $15,500 or so total. And so if you look at the difference in price there, $15,500 if you go the will route and the two probates, or you go $4,500 for the trust.
Well, it makes sense.
It's kind of a no-brainer. Yeah. And I really don't understand. I think that people get a lot of bad information because people just really don't understand what probate is. So they're talking to a professional, a financial advisor or an accountant who says, well, geez, you just don't have enough in assets. Well, if you own your home, bingo.
You do.
You got it. Yeah.
Okay. So the folks who should have a trust,
right.
Number one, if you don't want to go through probate, that's fine. You've talked about if you've got property or assets in other states, probably you should have a trust.
Absolutely. And so there are absolute reasons when you should have a trust over. I mean, regardless of probate in Washington, if you own real estate in more than one state and you pass away, you've got to go through probate in every state that you have real estate. So if you have a place here and a place down in Arizona, a place in Hawaii, guess what? When you pass away, your spouse has to go through probate in Whatcom County. They got to go through probate in Arizona. They got to go through probate in Hawaii. They got to get all that done. And then when your spouse passes, your kids do too. And so that tends to whittle down on the argument that probate's not that bad. I mean, heck, if probate's not that bad, then maybe three probates aren't really triple the trouble. Maybe they're triple the fun.
If you enjoy doing that.
Absolutely.
But there are circumstances where a will probably would work better for them.
Absolutely. Right? Let's just say, for example, you don't like your family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. But let's say you don't own real estate, right? Okay. If you do not own real estate or you don't own more than $100,000 in other assets, so there's no possibility of triggering probate, then you probably don't need a trust at that point. Probably your will be okay unless there are some real extenuating circumstances. If, let's say, you're a single person, you don't have any kids, and you're just planning on leaving your estate to a charity or something like that, then why would you have a revocable living trust to make life easier for a charity who's just going to get all of your money anyhow?
Okay.
At that point, then, it makes more sense just to have an inexpensive will, say that everything goes to the charity, and then then you can start living on the edge, Bill. You can start going around without your seatbelts on.
I'm thinking single, no kids, don't own property. Probably a will works
Don't like your family? Sure.
I like that. His glass is always half empty, it seems like. Recommendation, should they just come and see you?
Yeah.
And you can kind of lay out the choices
for them? And that's exactly it. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't care if people get a will or a trust. It makes more financial sense from my perspective if people choose a will, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know that that's just a better business plan for me as an attorney.
Sure.
$2,500 now, $6,500 in the first spouse passes, $6,500 in the second spouse passes.
But if you're looking out for the benefit of your client.
Exactly.
It'll cost them less to do a trust.
Exactly.
And you'll make less money. And
exactly.
You'll eventually go out of business.
Absolutely.
And go broke. Yeah.
Well, and to be perfectly honest, what happened was I used to be the managing attorney for a much larger law firm. And all they did was sell wills. Wills,
right.
wills. And what I found was after a spouse would pass, the surviving spouse would come into my office. They'd sit directly across from me. And even though we had talked about wills and what they were and how they're going to have to go through probate, they'd break down in tears at that point when I reminded them, hey, this isn't going to be easy at this point. Before you can do anything with the property, you're going to have to go through probate. And I just can't do that anymore. So I will give you all the information. You get to make your choice, and whatever you choose is fine with me.
Give Phil a call, 360-746-7169. You can also email him radio@safeharborlegal.com. What's next?
What's next? Help, my husband didn't have me listed on his IRA.
We'll do that next on the Aging Hour here on KGMI.
Can your apples.
Any and all information provided by this radio program is for general information and entertainment purposes and is not intended to give legal advice. Listening or interacting with this radio program does not create an attorney-client relationship, and any information sent to this radio program may not be constituted as attorney-client privilege. It is important that you seek counsel and discuss your case with a competent attorney. Review your local state bar for information on each attorney you hire.
Are you a woman worried about your aging parents? More than 75% of family caregivers in the U.S. are women. And unfortunately, most of these women end up having to leave their careers to take care of their aging parents. But this doesn't have to be you. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions can help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will guide your parents through creating an estate and retirement plan that will take you from caregiver to care manager. That means you won't be the one helping your parents bathe or get dressed. Instead, you'll manage the care who come to help your parents with their daily life, so you can ensure your parents' well-being without having to sacrifice your career. Don't let a lack of planning steal your hard-earned future. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you'll be by your parents' side without putting your life to the side. Don't wait until it's too late. Learn how a plan from Safe Harbor Legal Solutions can help your parents and help you. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
Hello, folks. This is Elder Law Attorney Phil George, the host of The Aging Hour right here on KGMI every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and the founder of Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. I have good news for you. I'm hosting a live educational seminar in Linden. We will be at the Inn at Linden on Saturday, the 27th of April at 11 a.m. Don't let another month go by without giving your family the peace of mind that comes with a comprehensive estate and retirement plan. Come out, get your questions answered, and learn how to set your family up for success in your retirement. Reserve your spot today at www.safeharborlegal.com.
How confident are you in your estate plan? Confident enough to know you won't run out of money from uncovered long-term care costs? Confident enough to know you won't be forced out of your home against your wishes? Confident enough to know you'll never become a burden on your loved ones? If you aren't 100% confident in your estate plan, it's not the plan for you. Don't risk it, and don't wait until it's too late. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will make sure you can lead a dignified retirement and offer your family peace of mind, so you'll never have to worry about exorbitant expenses, being forced from your home, or becoming a burden. And if you don't have an estate plan yet, the attorneys at Safe Harbor Legal Solutions are there to guide you. Put your plan in place today so you can prepare yourself and your family for the future, no matter what it holds. Safe Harbor Legal will show you exactly how to set your family up for success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
And you know, whether you like it or not, we're actually back for our second segment of the Aging Hour. That's Phil George over there counting
cackling.
His nickels.
He That's is, right.
He's the elder law attorney and counselor at law. We bring in for the show, brought to you by Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. Mm-hmm. If you want to email Phil with a topic or a question, radio@safeharborlegal.com. And
That's
we
right.
will do that in an upcoming episode of The Aging Hour. Next email question we got here. This person says, I'm in a real pickle. Hope you guys can help me out. My husband passed away about a month ago. We'd been married for about 6 years, and this was the second marriage for both of us. We each have a couple of kids from our previous marriage, and the biggest asset that my husband brought to this marriage was his IRA. It's worth about $1.2 million. When he divorced his ex-wife, he took her name off the beneficiary list, and that's good, obviously. But he never put my name or anybody else's on the beneficiary list after we got married, so there's nobody listed there. I've tried to call the beneficiary company. They won't talk to me. This is turning into a real nightmare. So what can this person do?
What a nightmare.
That is a nightmare.
Man, oh, man. This
is
one of
those.
You
see this a lot?
I do, actually. This is one of those things. Well, it's relative, right? It's not like it's happening every day, but I see a couple of these things a year. And so it becomes a really good reason why you should be going out and just double-checking your IRAs, 401ks. 403Bs, deferred comp, life insurance, all that to make sure that you have those beneficiary designations set up correctly. I mean, if you remember, if you have these assets and you have the beneficiary designation set up correctly, they bypass probate. So that $1.2 million, if he would have listed her, would have gone right to this person.
Is she going to have a hard time?
Oh, my gosh.
Getting the money?
It's going to be awful. So there's not enough... there's not enough information here to really get into it, but it's possible she might not even get the money.
Just from what the facts she's given us here.
Absolutely.
There's probably a lot of factors.
Yes.
Like how old they are.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. How old they are, right? Mm-hmm. When they would have his divorce would have been, when he would have retired.
What about contributing to the IRA? Would that be a factor?
Absolutely.
When did he stop
contributing to the IRA? Does the husband have a will, right? All of that is going to play a huge factor into this.
Can we do this first? Let's get the worst case scenario out of the way, and maybe there's some positivity we can bring to this.
Sure.
Okay, worst case scenario,
ex-wife gets it.
What?
Yeah. Worst case scenario, ex-wife gets it. Worst case scenario, as part of any kind of divorce proceeding.
But she's not on the beneficiary list.
Now, she might not get it right away, but there is there's a decent possibility because we don't know who got what in their divorce. But if she was married to him long enough to have a couple of kids and she was married to him during the time when he was putting all this money into the IRA, then there's a fairly decent chance she was awarded at least part of that IRA as part of the dissolution.
Speaking from experience,
nobody
wants to give money to their ex.
Nobody.
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 Right?
Nobody. Okay. And you know who especially doesn't want to give money to the ex?
Who?
The new wife.
Oh, yeah. obviously. So what? Would the kids maybe? Would the kids get some of it maybe?
Well, possibly, right? Okay. And so this is another thing. There was no mention here of having a will. And so
there's no will, or at least we don't have a will there.
Right.
We see, and there's nobody on the beneficiary list.
Right. And so when that happens then, if there's no will, if there's no anybody on the beneficiary list, then we go back to Washington. Rules of intestate succession. And if anybody out there listening has been listening for a while, you know we talk about intestate succession all the time. And so if you don't list out who gets your stuff, there's a list that the government goes by. And the government will tell you then where your assets will go if you don't go through the whole process of writing them down yourself.
So we've got a situation where the ex could get some.
Right.
The kids could get some. The husband who has passed away.
Right.
Brothers or sisters?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if there's no will, right, the surviving spouse is supposed to get all of the community property. And so,
which would be this lady that wrote to us.
Right. But so, if this was all could be considered community property, then he would have had to have been putting money into it while they were married, or taking money out of it and using it for their benefit while they were married during that 6 year span. So it depends on really what he was doing with that. Now, if that's not the case, if it's considered that some of it's separate property and some of it's community property, then the surviving spouse is only supposed to get half of the separate property. The other half would go to his kids. So there's a possibility that she would only get $600,000 here, and his kids would split the other $600,000. And it goes even further than that. If he has no kids, then there's a good possibility that if he had siblings, his siblings would get a quarter and she'd get three quarters. So the whole thing is just a horrible, horrible mess, all caused because this person didn't go online, fill out the beneficiary designation and say where these assets should go.
The widow is going to get stiffed.
Sounds like it. Yeah. I mean, and that's probably the best way to look at it, because I would imagine that if the IRA, it's not going to be really considered community property unless, like I was saying, he was actually putting money into it while mm-hmm. they were married. So when did he stop contributing? When did he start taking RMDs? Yeah. When did he start doing all this stuff? And there's a good possibility that their kids are going to fight for this.
But if he had been putting money in or taking out while he was alive,
right,
and while he was married to this lady,
right,
then she would have a shot
at claiming that some of it was community property, okay, right? There's a good chance that a judge would come along and slice it and dice it and mm-hmm. say, well, he had 75% of this already in place when you got married, and so 75% of this is going to be considered separate property, and 25% is going to be considered community property. But I would be willing to bet that again, we're talking about so much money here. We're talking about $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. I would be willing to bet that this is just going to cause a huge storm in the family. His kids are going to start fighting over it. I mean, it would be in their best interest to hire an attorney, right? I hate to say
ex-wife,
that.
If ex-wife gets
absolutely,
if she listened to the show and heard this, she goes,
exactly.
Okay, so ex-wife might get it all.
Yeah.
Kids might get half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything to do with probate with this IRA?
Absolutely. And so if you don't write down where you want your IRA to go, then that means, or your life insurance policy or your 401k or your 403b or anything like that, then it gets distributed according to your estate. If there is a will, then your will say where those assets go. Mm-hmm. If there is no will, then Washington uses the laws of intestate succession, but it's going to have to go through probate. And so the wife is going to have to...
That's going to be her best shot, isn't it?
It's her only shot.
Okay.
There's no way that I guarantee you that there is no way that this financial company would hand over $1.2 million in an IRA without having proof that mm-hmm. that the probate had been started. And then they would hand off to basically whoever the executor was or anything like that. So, she's going to have to take this through probate. It is going to be a fighting mess. And so if most probates are $6,500 in a year and a half, you've got now this hot potato here, right? Yeah. This $1.2 million asset that could go any one of a number of different ways. It could go to the new wife. It could go to the kids. It could go to the ex-wife. It could get split up in all sorts of different directions. So you better believe that people are sharpening their knives over this. And this poor schmuck, he was probably just some guy who had been working down at Boeing or something like that, putting into this his whole life. Now this is what happens.
Okay, so we don't know whether there's a will or not. But if there is a will, let me do a little, hopefully, glass half full here. If there is a will,
and
he's willed all of his assets to his
new wife,
to his wife,
right?
Then will that IRA go to her?
Yes. Okay. Then the IRA would go to her. It still has to go through probate.
Right.
But, you're spending $6,500 to go through probate to get, $1.2 million. That's a no-brainer right there.
That's what we don't know, if there's a will. But if there is a will and she's the beneficiary of the will, then
everything's going to be okay. It's still crummy. You got to go through probate, but everything's going to be okay. You're going to get your $1.2 million. If there is no will, and you know what, if this guy wasn't forward thinking enough to actually who he wanted to have receive the money on the IRA, I'm not holding my breath thinking that he's got a will. I'm thinking this puts him in a real bad position, and it just goes to show people out there. This is one of those situations where it could have been entirely avoided. So you talk about people where, their retirement just goes straight off the rails. Mm-hmm. There's a pretty decent chance that this woman here, the second wife, was thinking that was going to be, her nest egg to mm-hmm. help her get through the rest of her life. And now she's looking at a possibility where she's just not going to be able to touch that. And there's going to be a huge fight.
If she called your office, 360-746-7169,
absolutely,
she could make an appointment.
She could make an appointment.
And you can at least, you know,
yes,
you could give her some options.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
You get more info.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd need all the info. I'd want her to come in. We'd talk about what she could do. If we could avoid probate, we absolutely would. But at least I could talk to her about what her real options were. We just need more information here before we could really tell her what was going on.
Well, I hope she does that, and I hope you have good news for her.
Me too.
What's next?
Next is the care you receive on Medicaid any good?
Okay. It's an issue all of us are interested in, and we will delve into it.
Or at least we'll pretend to be.
I'm sorry?
At least we'll pretend to be interested in it. I mean,
that's
only
our third segment coming up on the Aging Hour on KGMI.
Did you know that if you have a will, your spouse will probably have to take your estate through probate after you die? That's right. A will is designed to take your estate through probate. That means your spouse will be responsible for paying your final tab after you pass. Probates are usually a minimum of $5,000 and take at least 6 months to complete. But we've all heard those horror stories about probates that cost way more and take way longer than that. If you want to learn how to avoid one of these fiascos when you or your spouse passes, then reach out to Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will guide you through a plan that reduces the risk of financial burden on the loved one you leave behind. Don't set your spouse up for failure. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you can keep your spouse from having to go through probate after you pass. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions show you how to set your family up for future success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
What's the single biggest financial threat to a successful retirement? Uncovered long-term care costs. The average cost of care in a nursing home in Washington State is $10,000 per month. Even a good-sized estate can quickly run out of money with those kinds of costs. You need care, but you don't want to leave a bill behind for your family. So what if there was another way? What if you could transfer onto governmental benefits so your spouse wouldn't have to spend down all their money? What if you could give your family all the tools they need to get you out of a rehab facility and recovering in your own home? What if you knew you would never become a burden on your loved ones? All of this is possible with a plan from Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. Don't let a lack of planning steal your retirement or your loved one's future. Learn how a plan from Safe Harbor Legal Solutions can give you a dignified retirement and give your family peace of mind. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
Hello, folks. This is Elder Law Attorney Phil George, the host of The Aging Hour, right here on KGMI every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and the founder of Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. I have good news for you. I'm hosting a live educational seminar in Linden. We will be at the Inn at Linden on Saturday, the 27th of April at 11 a.m. Don't let another month go by without giving your family the peace of mind that comes with a comprehensive estate and retirement plan. Come out, get your questions answered, and learn how to set your family up for success in your retirement. Reserve your spot today at www.safeharborlegal.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
No gimmicks, just the highest quality systems, 0% interest financing, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Rely on West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Contact them today at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and mybellinghamnow.com.
We're back on the Aging Hour, brought to you by Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. I'm Bill Davis, the lesser half of the duo here. He's the guy that has all of the ideas.
That's right.
Phil George, counselor at law. Counselor at law.
Sure.
God,
why not?
That's right. Counselor at law. Elder law attorney.
Sure.
Counselor.
Exactly.
And, you know, all around good guy.
Sure.
All right. Okay, I got it all. I got it all in. It's a long business card.
It's a long business card.
We talk about dropping these pearls of wisdom here from time to time on the Aging Hour on KGMI. And for those who cannot be with us on Saturday, it's okay.
Right.
I know you got stuff to do. I'm not going to degrade you or anything like that.
But we want to.
Yeah, I know we do. But there are other avenues, especially your website, where you can get all of our segments.
Absolutely. And so if you haven't been able to listen to us on Saturdays, first of all, shame on you. Yeah. You should be moving your schedule around so that you can clear up some space to listen to us on Saturdays. But if you don't, for whatever reason, or if you hear something that you want to share with your friends, or you just want to put on repeat on your iPhone pad ear
thingies. You just
thingies,
said Saturdays. You don't want them to listen on Sundays?
You know, I figure Sundays, they can choose, you know, whether they want to or not. But
All right.
No, so, okay. So very well, good point. So Saturdays or Sundays, if you listen to something and there's something there that you think to yourself, man, I just want to hear that again. That was so, so just insightful and wonderful. Then you can log on to our website, scroll about halfway down, www.safeharborlegal.com, and you can see a repository for all the old, all our old shows. The podcasts are there, so you can listen to that. You can listen to Bill and I kind of spread this wisdom around, like someone getting their garden ready in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just it's a good time for everybody.
Well, that's what we do.
That's what we do.
We spread fertilizer all across the airwaves.
We do.
That's right.
We do.
You turn on the radio and you hear dung.
We're the Brown Bombers of radio.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get our next email question. It says, my husband and I are getting ready to retire, and we're worried about the cost of long-term care.
As you should.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have talked to our financial advisor about getting a long-term care insurance policy, but the prices are so high, mm-hmm. we don't really think we can afford them in our retirement. Mm. I've heard you talk about... Wait a minute.
Whoa.
They listen to the show.
Yes.
There we go. We get another nickel for Phil and I, for everybody who listens. I've heard you talk about being able to access Medicaid, but that worries me a bit. Back in the 90s, my dad was on Medicaid, and the care he received was not very good. Then, just about 5 years ago, my mom went on Medicaid. I'm not a physician or anything, but it sure seemed like her quality of care went down. She went from having a room by herself to being forced to have roommates. It really turned into a bad situation. Is Medicare a step down? Is there any way to avoid getting a lower level of service if you have to get on Medicaid?
Ah, what a great question. And and obviously these folks are very insightful because they listen to the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to further their knowledge about Medicaid. And I think that this is a really great question.
Well, she's posing the question about, Medicaid.
Yes.
Do you actually get a lower level of care?
Yes. And so you don't get a lower level of care. You get a lower level of service.
You want to explain that? You want to unpack that?
Absolutely. So what I mean by lower level of, you don't get a lower level of care. So that means that if somebody's going to be wiping your tushy, mm-hmm. They're going to give you the same level of care if you're on Medicaid or off Medicaid. If they're going to, you know, if you need help getting in and out of your bed, they're still going to help you get in and out of bed, but there's mm-hmm. going to be a lesser level of service. If you were paying privately in a facility, and remember, in Whatcom County, the average cost of Medicaid is about $10,600 a month. But if you were paying privately in a facility, and let's say you were in the penthouse and you had a private bathroom and you mm-hmm. had somebody come in and giving you a bath every day and all that kind of stuff, it's entirely possible that when you get on Medicaid, that will end and you will get moved, and the frequency of baths and the number of and the amount of solo time you have in the room will diminish rapidly.
Well, you probably have a roommate. Yeah.
Or two. Yeah.
So why would this take place?
It's all economics, Bill. It's all economics. So what happens with Medicaid is, if the average place in Whatcom County costs about $10,600 a month, what Medicaid will do when somebody gets on Medicaid is they'll come in and they'll say, we're not going to give you $10,600 a month.
Okay. Yeah.
We're only going to pay you $8,500 a month or something along those lines. And you have to take it mm-hmm. and you have to like it. And so the facilities, they don't want to do that. They're losing out on money then when they take these Medicaid patients on. And so they say, okay, well, we're going to have a Medicaid room or a Medicaid bed in a room. And so what they do then is they move you then from the penthouse down to the bottom floor where you'll have more than one roommate because it's a Medicaid bed. And you do. You go from having a bath every day to a bath once a week, twice a week, something like that. And so it is. It's not as the creature comforts around you usually aren't as good at that point.
Well, okay. So you're telling me Medicaid does not have to pay them the same amount.
No.
Right?
Because, a lot of times, remember the skilled nursing facility or the assisted living facility or the adult family home, they set the prices. And so they set the prices for their own facility. And so they will tell people, if I'm calling because my mom or dad need to go in and start living at this housing facility, they'll tell me how much they will charge for that care. When somebody gets on Medicaid, Medicaid has their own social workers who go out and they use, they have their own system for figuring out exactly how much somebody's care should cost. And so they don't ask these facilities how much they want to, how much they should be paying. They tell the facilities, okay, this is how much this person's care should be costing. And then that's what Medicaid pays. And every facility out there, or almost all of them, will take Medicaid. It's just whether or not they're taking Medicaid right now.
Okay.
If they have lines out the door, they're not going to take Medicaid right now because they want to bring people in that are paying privately. Mm-hmm. But if they have open beds, all of a sudden now they're taking Medicaid.
Okay, so to answer this person's question,
right.
It's not that you get, you know, worse care.
Right.
You just get... Right. Less services.
Right. That's exactly it. You just get less services, which is also very crummy, right? I mean, this
it's
is
a crummy
one of those,
situation.
Yeah.
Like.
You go from being by yourself, where I would imagine you're on the veranda and there's soft music playing, to being in a room with the howlers. Mm-hmm. And so now you're just in a really bad situation. And to kind of make it even worse for those folks that are going to be on Medicaid, a lot of times these places, and this is a limiter that we've talked about for even getting on Medicaid, they'll make people wait through a private pay period. So they, when somebody comes to their facility, they'll say, okay, you can move in here, but we're not going to accept Medicaid for 2 to 3 years. And so you're going to have to pay privately during that time. And so sometimes, even though a facility will take Medicaid, you got to wait through and you got to pay privately for a while to get it. And the reason they do that is because that's about the average amount of time. 2 to 3 years is about the average amount of time that somebody is on long-term care. Yeah.
Okay. So let's unpack this. You get a level one on Medicaid.
Yep.
Medicaid.
Yep.
Obviously, you've told us Medicaid pays less.
Yep.
No
more
penthouse. You won't be in the penthouse suite anymore. Yep. Services.
Nobody's,
you know, get a few of the,
nobody's peeling
and you
grapes.
You have roommates.
Exactly right.
Okay. So this family's thinking about this.
Right.
What do they do?
Sure. And so this is where kind of the art of elder law comes in, right? What you can do and what Medicaid allows you to do is do something called signing a supplemental contract.
Well, okay, supplemental contract. Is that, you know, I'm on Medicare.
Yes.
And I have a, what they call a Medigap policy, you
right.
know, like a supplemental
yeah.
to pick up. Is that kind of similar to what we're talking about, a supplemental contract?
So if your family goes to, so if your family is paying privately for your care, let's say $10,000 a month, and all of a sudden you jump on Medicaid and now Medicaid is saying, well, we're only going to pay this facility $8,000 a month. What you do or what your family can do is they can come to back to the facility and they can say, okay, how about we sign a supplemental contract with you for services above and beyond what this person is getting for Medicaid. We pay you $2,000 a month. The family does. Medicaid picks up the rest of the bill. And that brings dad back up to the penthouse where somebody's peeling his grapes for him. Problem is it's getting harder and harder and harder to do that.
Oh, why is that?
So it's all the, it seems like all of the housing facilities around here, all of the care facilities, all the skilled nursing facilities and stuff like that, they're getting bought up by big corporations.
So then the decision is not made at the local level.
Exactly
it's
right.
at the national level.
You
got
to find a
corporate
decision
level.
Maker, somebody that's willing to kind of take that on. And to be quite honest, most of the time when I walk into a lot of these different places, I'm talking to somebody who's just, they're just trying to get to Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You're talking to somebody who's, they're not the owner. They're not trying to, you know, get more money that way. They're not trying to, you know, they just don't want to deal with you a lot of times. And so that becomes the hard part for me when I'm doing this job is finding somebody who you can sit down and talk to and have a rational conversation with and saying, hey, I can make you financially whole. We can do this and bring this person back up. Most of the time they just don't want to, they don't want to have that conversation.
Okay.
But it's important.
Good idea for them to give you a call at 360-746-7169. And Phil, you can probably point them in the right direction.
Sure. I'll point them in a direction.
Yeah, well, that's true. you want to wrap this sucker
Let's
up?
Let's do it.
We're going to do it next on the Aging Hour here on KGMI.
Any and all information provided by this radio program is for general information and entertainment purposes and is not intended to give legal advice. Listening or interacting with this radio program does not create an attorney-client relationship, and any information sent to this radio program may not be constituted as attorney-client privilege. It is important that you seek counsel and discuss your case with a competent attorney. Review your local state bar for information on each attorney you hire.
Isn't it finally time to get your affairs in order? You've been putting it off and putting it off, but did you know more than 70% of retirement plans fail when families need them most? Don't let your family be one of the 70%. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will show you how to give yourself the best possible chance at a dignified retirement and the best possible chance for peace of mind for your whole family. That means no running out of money from uncovered long-term care costs or extravagant death taxes. No being forced out of your home against your wishes. And never becoming a burden on your loved ones. Don't let a lack of planning spoil your retirement or your family's future. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you won't have to worry about being one of the 70% that fail. Let the folks at Safe Harbor Legal Solutions show you how to set your family up for success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
Hello, folks. This is Elder Law Attorney Phil George, the host of The Aging Hour, right here on KGMI every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and the founder of Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. I have good news for you. I'm hosting a live educational seminar in Linden. We will be at the Inn at Linden on Saturday, the 27th of April at 11 a.m. Don't let another month go by without giving your family the peace of mind that comes with a comprehensive estate and retirement plan. Come out, get your questions answered, and learn how to set your family up for success in your retirement. Reserve your spot today at www.safeharborlegal.com.
Did you know that if you have a will, your spouse will probably have to take your estate through probate after you die? That's right. A will is designed to take your estate through probate. That means your spouse will be responsible for paying your final tab after you pass. Probates are usually a minimum of $5,000 and take at least 6 months to complete. But we've all heard those horror stories about probates that cost way more and take way longer than that. If you want to learn how to avoid one of these fiascos when you or your spouse passes, then reach out to Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will guide you through a plan that reduces the risk of financial burden on the loved one you leave behind. Don't set your spouse up for failure. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you can keep your spouse from having to go through probate after you pass. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions show you how to set your family up for future success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
If I hear one person clap, if I hear one person cheer and applaud the fact that this is the final segment of the Aging Hour brought to you by Safe Harbor Legal Solutions on KGMI, well, there's really not much I can do about it.
We're turning this car around and we're going home.
Yeah, we don't want to give you any more tips on anything if you're going to insult us,
yes,
like this,
yes,
and applaud,
right,
and say to your next door neighbor,
yeah,
our national nightmare is almost over. Then we just may not even come back next week.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We're trying to give you all these pearls for nothing.
Right.
And this is how you pay us back.
We've got all these nothing pearls here, and you guys won't accept them. And you know what? I'm getting tired of the abuse.
You know, I am shocked and dismayed at the reprehensible behavior,
yes,
of a few, not everybody,
right,
a few people in the audience,
right,
who think it's so funny to cheer and applaud the fact that the show's almost over.
Every week we do our best, Bill.
I know.
Brings a tear to my eye.
You know, and I just don't feel like, you know, we owe them anything anymore.
We certainly don't get any respect.
We covered a lot of good topics today.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
First one is whether people should have a will or a trust, because this person had talked to some friends who talked to some friends who had financial advisors and accountants and things like that, who said to them, probate's not that bad. You don't need a revocable living trust. Just jump in a will and head on down the road.
Mm-hmm. It's okay for some people.
Absolutely.
But not for
you
others.
You get to decide. My job is to tell you what probate is and how to avoid it, and your job is to decide. And so rather than having somebody just tell you, yeah, you don't need a trust or you don't need a will or anything like that, find out what you're talking about. So a probate is $6,500 in a year and a half. Do you want to avoid it or not?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. I mean,
well,
that's just really it.
If
you do,
then you get a trust.
Trust.
If you're single, you got less than 100K, you don't own any property, a will's probably for you.
Right.
If you are married, if you have kids, if you own a house, if you've got a sizable estate, then a trust is the way to go. It's that simple.
Absolutely. If you've got if you've got property in more than one state, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, the like we were saying, the choice is yours. Nobody's gonna kind of twist your arm behind your back. If you would rather have a will-based plan to help your family out at the end, that's fine. It's actually a better business plan for an attorney.
We had an email that I'm still very disturbed by.
Oh, man, oh, man.
This lady, her husband passed away, had a sizable IRA, second marriage for both, and kids for both marriages. But he took his ex-wife off of the beneficiary list.
Thank goodness.
But he didn't add anybody to it.
Yes.
And she's wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a whole lot of good avenues for
her. There's really not, unfortunately. And so when you do something like that, when you don't fill out where your who your beneficiary is, that means now that this IRA, which would have passed this person outside of probate, now has to go through probate. And if there is no will, then the rules of intestate succession take over. And so then you have to look at how long had he been contributing to his IRA? When did he stop contributing to his IRA? How long ago did he stop working? Whether or not, you know, it said in his divorce decree from his first wife that she was supposed to get a portion of it. Mm-hmm. And so now there are all of these really bad things that can happen to the money in that
well, especially
account.
If there's no will.
Absolutely.
Right.
She could, it could all go to the ex. Half of it could go to the new spouse. So $600,000, I think it was $1.2 million, the IRA. $600,000 could go to the new wife. $600,000 could go to his kids. All of it could go to his kids. I mean, it's just one of those situations that is really crummy to be in. And she's going to have to go through probate to get this all taken care of. And so if there's one thing, if you're out there listening to this in radio land, it's, you know, make sure your beneficiary designations are filled out. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, they fill them out when they first sign up for their IRA or 401k or 403b, and they never look at them again. But just jump online and fill them out. Do your life insurance policies, too, because if you're just setting your family up for a really, really hard time if you pass away and you haven't put anything in there. This could have been entirely avoided by this guy making a 5-minute phone call.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our last email we had, they were talking about Medicaid, and they had heard, actually, it had been their experience that they thought that their relatives who had got on Medicaid, that, you know, the services and the care went way down.
Right.
And that's... Well, that's kind of a two-way street.
Exactly.
It is a little bit, but then not. Yeah.
The amount of services and luxuries you get do go down because but the care stays the same, right? Mm-hmm. The care is still good care. It just you're getting it in a less opulent environment, let's say.
Right.
And they do this because of economics, right? If you're going to a housing facility and the housing facility is charging you $10,000 a month, what Medicaid will do is they'll come along and they'll say, "Oh no, we're only going to pay you $8,500 a month." Mm-hmm. So what the housing facility does is they say, okay, well, we're going to move dad out of the penthouse. We're going to move him down into the basement. He's now going to have roommates, and he's going to get a bath once a week. Mm-hmm. And so those aren't very good conditions. And usually people don't want to see their loved one in those kinds of conditions. And there's a way around that if you can talk to a decision maker in one of these facilities. You can go to them and you can say, hey, you know, we know how economics works. We know the rules for Medicaid, and we can sign a supplemental contract with you to pay for services above and beyond what dad is receiving
now. So to move dad back up to the penthouse.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if Medicaid is paying them $1,500 less than dad was paying privately, well, then the family just signs a supplemental contract for $1,500. To increase the services dad's getting. You're just paying for things that Medicaid's not already paying for. That's the deal. And finding a decision maker who will actually take the time to talk to you about it.
I think these are topics that come up when you speak to groups.
Yes.
They raise their hand and they say, hey, heard you on the radio. Cha-ching,
yes.
New nickel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've told
dropping
me before at seminars that people actually have brought nickels to you. But anyway, your calendar, I know, is, let's see, it's booked up through, what, 2027 right now?
It's getting pretty close.
No, you love going out and talking to groups.
I do. I was actually at a church last night. Had a great turnout. It was about 60 people or so. And one of them yelled out, "Hey, I got a nickel for you."
Really?
So, yeah.
Really?
They did.
Nice.
They did.
Nice.
And so, but it was a good time. What I do is I just go out in the community. I talk to churches. I talk to different unions. I talk to different fraternal orders. All sorts of different organizations, really anybody who has a population of folks who are thinking about retiring or getting
their estate
planning
order. And by the way, these talks he gives, it doesn't cost a nickel. It doesn't cost anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, unless you want to give me a nickel.
Oh, sure.
I mean, sure. But what we do is we talk about all the different estate planning documents. We talk about how to set your family up for success in retirement. We talk about how to craft your estate planning documents so you can mitigate long-term care costs. And I tell people this, you know, if I can set your legal documents up correctly, if you've got a married couple and one of them gets sick and needs long-term care, we can move assets around. We can get a sick spouse onto Medicaid faster than you could trigger a long-term care insurance policy a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, you actually have to do the planning. And so we sit down, we talk, or I stand, I should say, and I talk to these people about all those things. And last night, the seminar itself is usually about 45 minutes or so. And then I usually do about 15 minutes of Q&A. And last night, I got to tell you, I was probably doing Q&A for an hour.
Oh, they held you over for an encore.
Gosh, they did. Yeah. It was, and they were asking great questions mm-hmm. from all over the place. And so, it was a really good experience. But if you have a group that you would like us to come and talk to give this educational seminar to, the best way to get more information is to go to my website, scroll down about halfway, and you will see a little button to push for more information about coming to your venue. Just give us some of your contact information. We'll reach out. We'll see if you're a fit. And then we'll see if we can get you on the calendar. Right now, I think we're booking out into May and June. Mm-hmm. So, again, this has been very well received. I love doing it, going out there in the community. It's why we do the radio too, just to educate people.
If you want to get that set up with Phil, you can call him at 360-746-7169. I feel like I should have a CNN sounder here for breaking news. Our good friend Phil George is actually going to be getting out into the public.
Yes.
And you're going to do a seminar
in
Linden.
I'm doing a seminar. We're putting on an educational seminar in Linden.
You told me it's what? Coming up a week from today, I think.
Yeah, Saturday the 27th.
Yeah.
The Inn at Linden mm-hmm. at 11 a.m. Yeah, it's
going to be. How are you going to do that and do this show? That's what I want.
I'm going to do it really fast.
That's what I thought.
And so the idea is we start right at 11. Mm-hmm. I should be done speaking by about 11:45, 15 minutes of Q&A.
Okay, all right.
And then I'm running my A back here.
You'll have your time to get back here, obviously. Yeah. Okay, so if folks want to get involved in the seminar and sign up, it's absolutely free. Right?
Absolutely free. Best way to do it is to go to my website, www.safeharborlegal.com, and you can sign up for it there. I'd sign up pretty soon, though. Space is limited in their conference room.
Okay, so that's coming up a week from today.
Week from today. And folks, thanks for joining us. Don't forget to tune in every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. Remember, you do not have to set your family up for failure in your retirement. We can show you how to set them up for success.
He's Phil George with the Safe Harbor Legal Solutions Group. They bring in the Aging Hour every Saturday and Sunday, like you said, 1 o'clock right here on KGMI.